fifth point we believe in is called the Yom HaAchra, the resurrection, the coming back to life after being dead. And that's a very important point. And then finally, the sixth point, that's what we'll talk about tonight, which is the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is predestination, or kismet, or fate, means that Allah already knows everything that's going to happen. Some people will ask you the question, well, if Allah already has everything planned, how is it fair? Where's my free choice in this thing? Because you told me I had free choice. Now, I heard some people say, oh, well, there's, you know, different opinions about that. I heard people say, well, you know, let's don't get into that. That's not something because people argue about it, so we'll just leave it alone. But yet, you're telling me it's a point of belief in Islam. How could there be two opinions about it? And how could it be there's any argument about it? Is there two opinions about Allah? No. Do you argue about Allah? I don't think so. So why would we get into it about this subject? And what's happened is exactly some of the things that the Prophet ﷺ told us would happen in the last days. That these points we would begin to get weak in, and it would wind up at the very end, people would just say, La ilaha illallah, and hardly even know what that means. So, this idea of the Qadr of Allah has something amazing in it, but not only that, I have a good example of it that happened to us tonight. And I'll begin by talking about this Qadr, and it's really an amazing subject, and a beautiful way to explain Islam to people who really don't believe that there is a God, or else they have a problem understanding how his things were done. First, let's mention the fact that after the events that took place on 9/11, on the television, they interviewed a priest, a qassis, and they also interviewed a rabbi from the Jewish. And they were asking him about, does God have control over everything? I mean, you know, how do things happen? Of course they were setting him up, right? And they asked the qassis, the priest, they said, you know, how is it that you say you believe in God and God is good? He said, yes, of course God is good. He said, does God do evil? Oh, no, he said. So, how do you explain what happened on 9/11 about these buildings falling down and the buildings blowing up and the people getting killed? Did God do that? He was asking him a question about the Qadr of Allah. And the priest said, no, God didn't do that. So then, of course, the journalist turned to him and he said, well, then who did do it? Well, obviously it happened. So who did it? He said, the devil did it. Well, now to the Muslims, that's kind of funny because, you know, a minute ago, the Christians had three gods, a father, a son, a ghost, and all that. But now they just wound up with four gods here. Now you got a devil in there. He also has some power, too. So the triangle becomes the square, and they move on down the road, which, you know, who knows what. That's how Allah called them, Dalalah, in the Quran. So I'm thinking that fits. But the next thing we're going to do is look now to what happened next in there. And the journalist, he turns to the rabbi, and he says, how about you, sir? What do you say happened here? They're both there at the same time. He turns to him and says, what do you say? Did God do this? Did God kill all those people? Did God make that building fall down? الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. And the translation plus or minus to the English language might be that it says, hey, I seek refuge with the Lord of Daybreak from the evil that he created and from the evil of the overshadowing darkness and from the evil of malignant witchcraft or magic and from the evil of hatred, envy, from those who envy when they practice. So this is telling us exactly where this evil is coming from. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, is the one who, of course, is the Lord of Daybreak, and therefore he's the one who created evil. He created it. But Allah is not evil. Allah is good. But he created it as a what? A test. This life is a test. And how do we know this life is a test? Allah told us in the Quran that he'll test us in the things that we love most. Right or wrong. And one of the things we love the most is our life. So sometimes we're even tested by our own life. This is clear. Also our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Muhammad, peace, blessings be upon him, said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." That this material existence is nothing more than a prison to a real believer. But it's a paradise to a disbeliever. So naturally, when anything goes wrong in this life, to a believer, he's going to do what? He's going to say, alhamdulillah, and he'll be patient. But the other one who is only wanting this life, not thinking about the next life, he will see, oh, this is horrible, horrible. I lost my money. I lost somebody close to me. I lost my health or the use of my legs or arms or something. Horrible, horrible. Because he can't see the benefit that goes along with it. And this is the point that I'm working up to now, is to mention the benefit that we don't see, but it's still there anyway. Because, as our Prophet said, the case of the mu'min, the believer, is very strange. It's amazing. Ajeeb. Because only good things happen to the believer. Any good comes his way, he says, alhamdulillah, he's thankful to Allah. But any difficulty or fitna comes his way, then he makes sabr, he's patient. And this is good for him, but this is only in the case of the believer. So let's look at that. For a believer, we know that even the difficulty that you experience when example of that. Now I'm going to come now to my example, and that is that tonight an amazing thing happened on the way over here. An amazing thing happened, and this is why we didn't get here when we wanted to be. But it was the will of Allah, and it was really fantastic. When we give da'wah, and that's what we were doing over there at the university. At the university we were giving da'wah, and I've heard so many times brothers say, why do you want us to give da'wah? Isn't guidance from Allah? Hidayah min Allah, isn't that right? So why should I give da'wah to anybody? Why should I invite somebody to Islam when I can't make them come? La ikraha fi deen. I can't force anybody to Islam, right? So why should I try? It's not right. It's not right for me to try to push somebody to Islam, right? I was in a business college. That's what they do at Baruch University, business college. I asked them, what about da'wah? As we were packing everything up and leaving, I said, what about da'wah, guys? And they're going, well, you know, it's from Allah. I said, you're in a business school, right? You're learning about business. You're learning how to make money, right? Yeah. So you're going to work real hard to make money, right? Right. Why? Rizq min Allah too. Why don't you just sit under a tree and wait for the food to fall in your mouth? Huh? Huh? Because you know, and I know, that you're going to be asked about what you tried to do. So you make effort. Sometimes things you try don't work. If you own a business, anybody ever own a business? You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you work for somebody, they don't pay you too, right? But Allah is always the one going to give you the rizq. You'll always get what Allah has written for you to have. Is that right or wrong? Of course, that's right. Now, having said that, I want us to think about something. Tonight, when we were trying to come over here, if I would have hurried up just a little bit faster, I could have avoided some things and maybe we would have made it and we would have still had a lot of people here. Still got a lot here now, but I mean, maybe it would be full, right? When I was trying to back up and get off the stage, there were some people that came up to me from the Caribbean news media. And they said, we want to make some, you know, information about Islam and take it back to the Caribbean and broadcast it. Well, I've been down there in the Caribbean and we did some programs in Curaçao. 135 people at one time stood up and made shahada there. So definitely I like the idea of giving some free publicity for Islam. And they don't report the news down there like they do up here. They really don't. They're honest. I mean, as honest as you can be in the news business. And they said things just the way I said them. They didn't distort it and trick me. so-and-so, your father so-and-so. I said, will you testify to that in public? She said, of course. I said, will you swear to it? She said, of course, I know who my parents are. I said, who is your God? She said, Allah, because we gave the explanation why you say Allah instead of God, you know. She said, Allah. I said, will you swear to that in public? She said, yes. I said, okay, say, I swear there is no God except God. She said, la ilaha illallah. I said, whoa, why did you get to have it? She said, you were teaching me that in the speech. I know you're trying to get me to say that. I said, what? I can't believe it. I said, please don't get ahead of me. Let low, okay? And just then they turned the cameras on and they got up right in her face. I couldn't believe. If I'd have been her, I would have said, not now. You know, get that thing out of my face. They got within 8 or 10 inches of this lady's face with the camera. And she said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And she even asked me to help her repeat the last part so she could get it right. And she said it in English, and she said it in Arabic, and she was so happy, and the sisters started grabbing her and hugging her. And when she was coming toward me, I said, well, you can't hug me, and here's my daughter, you can hug her. By the way, my daughter's with us today. She's down with the ladies, and she came to be with us. And I thank Allah for letting her come and be a part of this great experience, just meet someone. And so that's why I'm saying, it's Qadr of Allah. Had we rushed away, who knows what would happen? And had those cameramen not been there, who knows what would happen? But it had to be this way, so this lady could get her shahada tonight the way she got it. And for those of you that are listening online right now, you missed that shahada, and I'm sorry about that, because we did shut down a little too early. But usually, you know me, I will ask the people in the audience to make the shahada if anybody is interested. But at least we did have one, and Allah sent them to her to us. And she did her shahada, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And we ask Allah to give this reward to all of those who were there present and those who dedicated themselves to try to help, and especially to our sister Layla and to Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid Adli, and to those that are helping with sponsoring our websites and this broadcast, and for all the brothers and sisters here that were so patient, and they've been waiting and waiting for us to get here. But this is an amazing thing. This lady was saved from hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to smile when people made the shahada, so much so they could see his back beat, because he was happy when somebody was saved from this fire of hell. I was reminded today of a hadith about that, by the way, that at the time when there was a problem between the Jews and the Muslims, there was some fighting between them. A neighbor of the Prophet ﷺ, he was a Jewish. Even though they were having fighting with Jewish, he was still concerned about the neighbor to the extent that the boy, the son of the neighbor, was sick, very ill. And the boy wanted to see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The father sent for him, and he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad went to see this boy. And when he said, now this is the enemy. But this man wasn't the enemy, and the boy wasn't the enemy. So he was talking to them, and he told the boy, la ilaha illallah. Say, there's nobody to worship, there's no God to worship, just Allah. The boy looked at his, as if to say, can I say it? The father said, obey Abu Qasim. Obey Muhammad, peace be upon him. And so the boy did, and he said, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And the boy died. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he walked home happy, because he said, this is one who is spared from the fire of hell. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for making us Muslim. And we thank Allah for this hidayah, this guidance. And we thank Allah for the shahada, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. You can visit us on the internet today. ISLAMTOMOWROW.com. Our website's open 24 hours a day. You'll find plenty of free parking. And by the way, in New York, that's a pretty precious commodity. Check out our new website at Islam Yesterday for the previous broadcast. That's IslamYesterday.com. And for dialogue and discussion over the harsh questions of Islam, visit our other website at IslamAlways.com. situation. And he said,